You know, it's a good feeling to be up here this morning, and when Bill first asked me about it, I asked him, well, what is he looking for? And he said, just keep it short. So he didn't say anything about good, so we're just going to go with short. Brian, would you close in prayer for us? Short. Okay, no, we've got more than that. I'd like to start off with just a participation exercise. And begin just by asking you all to participate. That's the nature of the exercise. I'm going to ask you to think through and come up with two words, in your opinion, that summarize Christmas. Two words that summarize Christmas. Now, the participation means that someone says something at this point in time.
Lord Jesus.
Do what?
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. That fits. What's the other one? Hope and joy. That's three words, Vern. I like hope and better. Huh?
Celebration.
That's one word, Ann. You know, the literacy is alarming. It's a struggle. Let's keep going. Let's at least get the right number of words. Do what?
Precious gift.
Is that what it was? It's two words. Huh?
Jesus' birth.
Jesus' birth. That's a good summary right there. Any others? I have two in mind, and we cannot leave until you get them. So, sorry, sir. No. What?
This little light of mine.
That works. Okay. Let me make a suggestion to you, one that I would suggest. And I tried to think through, you know, what would I want to talk about at this time, and how would I want to do it, and what would be important to say. And I thought about this notion that you see all the time, the real meaning of Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season, and this and that, and so on and so forth. Well, hopefully Jesus is the reason for every season, but, you know, it just kind of fits in with that. But the two words I thought of that summarize it all to me, and I'm not sure they're the best two, were the two words rescue mission. I think of Christmas as the ultimate rescue mission. Now, let me kind of develop that idea for you. And Bill started out last night when he was doing his presentation in the 7 o'clock Christmas Eve service by kind of apologizing because he was supposed to talk about joy, and he was going to start on kind of a negative side, sort of the downside. There's not much joy. Well, we'll call that neutral, and we're going way below that this morning as we talk about this. Because I truly believe that reappreciating Christmas begins with facing a dirty little word that's outdated, it's unintellectual, not very sophisticated. But it does describe a major, major problem that we don't like to talk about very much. It's an ugly little word. The word is sin. And we really don't like to think about that, but I think Christmas really doesn't begin with the account in Luke. Christmas really doesn't begin when the angels came. Christmas begins, but that was our condition. That was the culture that we came into. There was a sin. There was a condition of sin. That's where Christmas really begins, because if that wasn't here, Christmas might not have happened, but that was here. Years ago, when I was at the University of Arkansas, the Harvard of the West, as I've never failed to mention, I was a history major. And just so you know, if any of you all are contemplating majoring in history, have no plans for a career after that, because there are none. What you can do is work in a national park and you can guide people through historical monuments. But you know, one of the things about history is if you're gonna understand history, you have to understand the culture and what was going on, what was happening at the time. Well, the culture, the spiritual culture, was one of sin. Now, we get confused about that, but of all the problems that we might face, and see if this makes sense, of all the problems we might face, none is greater than that. Not even terminal illness, because this one involves eternity. There is no greater problem than this one because it involves eternity. And the notion is all of us have sinned. Now, that's not about being a good person or a bad person. I mean, it's really not. A lot of times we confess, we get that mixed up. It's about the fact that we have chosen to do things our way instead of God's way, and subsequently we're disconnected from God. That's a problem. That is a huge, huge problem. And we all know we've done that. I could make a list and just go on and on, but there's no need to. And if we have any questions, the Bible's very clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's pretty inclusive. That's pretty inclusive. Like, Paul uses words like helpless and powerless to describe our ability to deal with it. We've got a problem. And this is also pretty negative, but it helps to make it all come together. At the root of all of it, at the root of it all, is a powerful and dangerous enemy who is committed to the destruction of things of God. And that's us, among other things. That being is Satan. And I don't know how different ones of us think about that. I really don't. It's not a goofy idea, and it does seem kind of outdated, but it's real. He's real. Here's some of the things the Bible says about it. Powerful and evil. That's how John described him. Paul describes him as subtle and deceptive. Jesus described him as a liar and a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and father of all lies. Jesus also describes him as a thief who comes only to kill and steal, also the prince of this world. Peter describes him as destructive. He's prowling about the earth waiting to devour. Devour is an ugly, ugly word. It's to consume, to take over. So the Bible describes him as a dangerous, dangerous, evil enemy. And that's the enemy that we got to deal with. He has been under the destruction and death of the people of God. British writer, a great intellect, and a guy named C.S. Lewis was an atheist who became a Christian and became a great Christian apologist. This is one of the things he wrote. One of the things that surprised me when I first read the New Testament seriously was it talks so much about a dark power in the universe, a mighty evil spirit who was held to be the power behind all death and disease and sin. The difference is that Christianity thinks this dark power was created by God and was good when he was created and went wrong. Christianity agrees the universe is at war. And on the one side, there's God, who is about light and love and kindness and peace and hope and meaning and purpose. And on the other side is Satan, who is about destruction and bitterness and resentment and anger and harm and ultimately eternal death. Those are the players in the game, and that's what we're dealing with. As I said, I was a history major, and the illustration I think of, and it might be a poor illustration, World War II. I even took a couple of military history courses and have read some books on it. World War II, Nazi Germany was an irresistible power, malevolent, evil force. And it was bent on destroying the world, the destruction of a race of people as well as the domination of other countries. The Germans had occupied most of Western Europe, and the atrocities are etched in the history books. But even though some people fought, and they resisted, and they fought valiantly, they were not strong enough to deal with this. The enemy was too powerful. And that's our situation. The enemy is just too strong. And that's where Christmas comes in. That's where Christmas becomes the great invasion. That's where Christmas becomes the great rescue mission. Jesus invaded enemy-held territory with great humility and vulnerability, at great cost and at great risk. The ultimate rescue mission. It would turn out to be an incomprehensible battle, and it was a battle that culminated in the cross. It's the great rescue mission. We were trapped. We were dying. We couldn't get out. We desperately needed rescuing. No matter how financially comfortable we are, no matter how popular we are, no matter how much of this or how much of that or how much of the other, we were in trouble. Deep, deep spiritual trouble. In thinking about this and thinking about ways that people describe Christmas, here's some terms. Good stuff, no question about it. Home for the holidays, great. That's a good thing. Giving, that's a good thing. Presents, that's a good thing. Good food and good friends, those are good things. Family, good things. We even call for ceasefires and wars, and that's amazing. In fact, I want to show you a little video. It's a true thing that happened in World War I, but it's an amazing thing. That's a good thing. So go ahead, Henry, whenever you're ready. But as good as it was, it didn't last. As good as it was, it's still not the core of Christmas. It's still not there. I don't believe we can get the whole story and not appreciate the reality that it was the ultimate rescue mission. It's an invasion into enemy-occupied territory for the purpose of rescuing the prisoners and the oppressed and those who are stuck in a hopeless situation. And like I said, that's us. That's who we are. That's the situation. It's hard to see sometimes because the nature of invasion was so obscure and humble. There weren't guns, there weren't ships, there weren't things blasting off. It was humility at its best, and it was quiet. But don't think there wasn't resistance, because there was tremendous resistance. There's based on an earthly level as well as a spiritual level. Resistance. Herod heard that this new king was here, had all the infants under 2 years old slaughtered. Brutal thing. Jesus and his family actually had to go to Egypt to escape the resistance. He ended up dying. And we don't even know about the spiritual resistance that it faced. There's hints of it throughout the Bible, but we don't know. You understand all this and know what he was going to do. Jesus understood it all. He knew he was going to run into resistance. He knew it was going to be a costly invasion, but he knew it was a necessary one, because without it, we were trapped. I'm going to finish with 3 brief thoughts. Hope this is short enough. 3 brief thoughts. That's what Christmas is about. The rescuer has arrived. We can be saved, and that should be a source of great joy. Incredible joy. One of the other things about World War II, if you've seen the old tapes, the old movies, when the Allied armies would march through the French towns or the Belgian towns had been liberated, remember all the crowds that were out there in the streets, just jubilant, screaming, cheering, tears coming down their faces? They had been rescued. They got it. They understood it. And that's something I hope that we can rekindle in us, that we can get it. That is amazing, amazing news. We have been rescued. However, we also have to remember that there are many battles yet to be fought. And one of the great privileges of being rescued is we need to participate in rescuing. There's a lot of people out there that are just broken and hurting and need rescuing. Well, we know the rescuer, and we somehow need to get that hooked up together. We are called to be part of the army of rescuers. And finally, and this is huge. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Take this with you. This is vital. We got to remember it this way. We are on the conquering side. There might be a great battle, and there might be all sorts of things that go on, but we are on the side that wins. In the beginning, God expressed himself. That personal expression, that word, was with God and was God, and he existed with God from the beginning. All creation took place with him, and none took place without him. In him appeared life, and this life was the light of mankind. The light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. And you know something? The darkness never will. We're on the winning side. We need to be part of that whole process of rescuing people. You know, we've had this whole series called Born, and different things that have been born, and so on and so forth. What I would submit is to wrap it up, to finish it up. What was born on Christmas Day was deliverance. There's a chance for deliverance. There's a chance for rescue. For I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day a rescuer. A rescuer. Tremendous thing. Romans 7. I often find that I have the will to do good, but not the power. That is, I don't accomplish the good I set out to do, and the evil I don't want to do, I'm always doing. I serve the law of God in my mind, but in my unspiritual nature, I serve the law of sin. It is an agonizing situation, and who can set me free from this prison of this mortal body? I thank God there is a way through Jesus Christ our Lord. Good news, folks. The good news of Christmas. The rescuer has come. The rescue has happened. We are now free to live a life of love, meaning, purpose, hope, all those things, because of what happened today. The rescuer came to a captured environment and did what he needed to do to set us free. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now, and there's just not enough words that we can use to say thank you. And I just need to ask your forgiveness, because I just take this for granted. I don't realize what a blessing, what an amazing thing it is to be rescued. I just can't imagine. And so we just thank you. And we thank you that that rescue goes throughout eternity. And we thank you for what that means and what that does and what that says. So Jesus, we come to you now and we just say thanks. You're the liberating being, and we're in the army of the towns that have been liberated. Help us to share in the jubilation and the joy that's Christmas. That's who you are and what you did. In Jesus' name, amen.